Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Can we bow in prayer before we start? Father God, we come before you just thanking you for a new morning. New morning where we get to worship you, to worship together as a church, as a community of believers that love you and that seek to follow you, Father. We thank you for your great example of Jesus Christ that you've given us to follow. And Father, we just pray that we can live as your Son did, that we can seek to be more and more according to how you called us to be. Father God, I thank you so much for the blessing of being able to speak this morning. Father, I pray that you may speak through me, that you may be the one speaking. I do not have anything to offer this morning. Only you do. It's your word, your truth that brings life to all of us, Father. So I just pray that we can, as we dive into your word this morning, we can be blessed by your word, be blessed by your truth, Father. I also pray that anything that I say may be for your glory and for you to be known, Father. Father, thank you so much for all of your blessings, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning to everyone. It's good to be here. I want to start off by saying that it's been a while since I've been here. I've been gone the past couple of weeks, and it's been good to be back. My mom and sister are here this morning, so if you've never met them, they're here. They're here because my sister is planning on going to Harding, and they wanted to make a short trip here to Nashville, so we're buying stuff for her and getting her settled so that we can go to Searcy next Thursday, Wednesday evening, and we're going to get her settled in. So I'm really glad she's here. I'm also glad that she's going to be closer to me, so it'll be good. Sometimes, hopefully, I'll be able to visit her. It's crazy to see her grow up so fast. I mean, since I was in college, you know, I didn't get to see her as much because I was here in the States. They were in Panama, and every so often when I came to visit, she would just grow up. Like, what happened to you? You know, so it's good to see that she's grown and matured and she's become independent. Now she's going to go to Harding, and it's also good to have my mom here. You know. And take care of me. No. Last week I was gone also because I was with my girlfriend's family. They went on a family trip. We went to Virginia. That was fun. The week before that, I went to Mexico on a mission trip. That was fun as well. That was exciting. This mission trip is organized by my girlfriend's home congregation in Virginia, in Winchester. And every year they go to Mexico and they go to Baja California. If you don't know where that is the peninsula that's on the left side of Mexico. If you don't know, I mean, Google Maps or something, I don't know. Look it up. And they go down to different communities down that peninsula. And we went to two places, one called Colonet, another one called San Vicente. And it was just amazing to see God work there. It was amazing to see how God was, this gospel was being spread in different parts of Mexico and seeing it from a different perspective and also seeing boundaries being crossed because there were barriers that were broken down because of language and culture, you know, and it was awesome to be in the middle of that. As a translator, I got to see both sides and seeing Christ crossing barriers, Christ breaking down those barriers, and people coming to know Christ. It's a beautiful thing to see God at work with that. But where I saw God the most was with kids. I had the opportunity to lead parts of the VBS that we had down there. And we did everything from skits to activities, singing, everything. It was just great, and it was great to see the kids just light up when we started singing and doing the hand motions, and they're like, yeah, and It's a blessing to see kids. I was just sitting here just a while back looking at Maddie. She's leaving right now, but and Charlie and Maddox and all the kids, you know, seeing their smiles on their faces, they have a lot of joy in their hearts. And a thing about kids that really, really I love about kids is that they're genuine. They're very genuine. They're really good at expressing how they feel. I mean, you see when if there's something they need, they start crying. They don't try to hide that. Or if they're really happy about something, very excited about something, they show it on their face and you can tell. And that brings a lot of joy. That's why when I saw Maddie just smiling at my mom and sister, I was like, oh man, that brings joy to my heart. So another thing about kids is that they're very vulnerable. They are easygoing when it comes to relationships. They're quick to just be open to anybody. Sometimes, you know, if they don't know you, they might hold back. But you see when kids play together, they don't see the differences. They jump right in. They haven't experienced what it has been like to be hurt by this world, and that's what allows them to be more vulnerable. And just following this idea, in Mexico, there's one girl, we split off to do crafts, and we had three stations. And one of the stations, they were making bracelets, right? And I was helping each station, like translating, in case the kids were trying to talk to someone from the team. And in one of the stations where they were making the bracelets, there was this one girl that just came. And her name was Jocelyn in Spanish, and she was the sassiest girl I'd ever met. She came up to the little station, and she just goes, "I don't want to do this right now. This is boring. This is dumb. I don't want to do any bracelets." And I'm like, "Why?" And I'm grumpy right now. I didn't get to eat my churritos. It's like a pretzel thing that they put hot sauce on back there in Mexico. And it's just like, I didn't get that meal. I don't want to do anything right now. And she just, like, I'm like, okay, what? I'm like, okay, all right, you're grumpy today. So a little after that, she goes and, like, sits away from all of us. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go talk with her and see what happens. So I sit next to her, and I'm like, "Why don't you want to make any bracelets?" I'm like, "Those bracelets are ugly. I want to make one that you know has I want one that has Frozen on it or Hello Kitty." And I was like, "Oh no, you know why making a bracelet is better?" And she was like, "Why?" She said, I said, "It's better because you created it." She didn't even look at me. She just stood up and went to the station and started making a bracelet. I was like, yes. Yes, I made her, I got her to do a bracelet. So that was really fun. Another thing, a little after that same girl got upset again, and she went outside because she didn't want to be around anybody. And I went outside and sat again with her and talked with her, like, "Why don't you want to go inside and do crafts?" And she was like, "Well, I'm a failure." And I was like, "What? No, you're not. Who told you that?" And I was like, "No, everybody believes I'm a failure." And I'm like, "No, I don't. You know that God doesn't see you that way? I don't see you that way either." And she was like, "Really?" And she just lit up. Like, they know how kids are. They're so quick to change back and forth. But it just broke my heart to see that she was struggling with something. I want us to read Genesis 2:25 through chapter 3, verse 10. Genesis 2, verse 25. "And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some of her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." I want us to break down a little bit of these verses starting in chapter 3. So it starts off with saying, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. Then it says, he said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" He starts, the serpent starts off by asking the woman a question. He wants her to doubt who God is. Starts off by saying, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' Is he really who he is? Can you really trust him?" Verse 2, "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Here we can obviously see that the woman, Eve, she knew what God wanted from her, what she expected from her. She knew what were God's commandments in that verse. Verse 3, "But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" She did, once again, she did know what God expected of her. But I want us to focus on verse 4 and 5. "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" See, the serpent starts off by saying, you will surely not die. I want us to think about that for a second. I mean, we know how the story goes. They ate of the fruit. They didn't physically die. They were spiritually dead when they ate of that fruit. I would even add on and say, yeah, I mean, technically, if you think about it, physically, they began to die. Once they started eating from that fruit, that brought death upon them. After that, they started feeling what it was like to grow old. And that was going to be their end result. It was going to be death. Now, the most interesting part of this is verse 5. This is the core of what the serpent was trying to convince Eve to do here, or to search for. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God." It says, you will be like God. I want us to go to verse 1, verse 20. Genesis chapter 1. Give me one second here. Verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them." What was the serpent tempting Eve with? He was saying, hey, if you eat of this fruit, you're going to be like God. But wait a second, we go back to this verse in chapter 1 and we see, wait, we were already created in God's image. What is an image? It's a representation of something. We were already like God. At that point, Adam and Eve were already like God. And when they're tempted with this, when Eve is tempted with this, she's seeking for something she already has. And she takes of that fruit. And what I learned from talking to this little girl, Jocelyn, is that we struggle with the same thing. Not much has changed. This little girl was questioning her identity in God. She felt like she wasn't worthy. She felt like she wasn't good enough. She felt like a failure. And when we come and see this verse here, we see that Eve was looking for the same thing. She wanted to be like God. She felt like she wasn't good enough. She had a hard time believing that she was made in God's image. And that is something that we experience when we experience the hurts of this world, when we're disappointed. And that's why it's so easy for kids to be so outgoing and, you know, embrace other people, have that vulnerability with other relationships. And we hold back so many times and create barriers and facades because we have experienced hurt and disappointments. We try to protect ourselves from that hurt. And at the root of sin and what sin is, this is all a question of identity. Who do we think we are? And sin is trusting or believing that something or someone else can satisfy me more than God. And when we're doing that, we're trying to seek to be like God. When it comes to money, we're actually trying to find security. If we're greedy about it, or if we try to think that if I have more money, I'll be safe. Or how do I perform? If I just do better, if I just behave better, then God will love me. Sometimes it's control. We want to take control of things because we don't trust that God is in control. We want to be like God and have the control. With lust, sometimes we think that someone else can provide that intimacy that only God can provide to us. For me, one of my greatest struggles is with being worried about how people see me, being worried about other people being disappointed in me. I don't know how many of you struggle with this, but this is one of my strongest. It's really easy to think, am I doing good enough? Sometimes I even feel like people are judging me. And most of the time it's not the case. But it's because I draw my value so much from other people. And that's a dangerous place to be, right? We need to be drawing our identity from God. This is the place where we will be satisfied. And this is what the world is doing. We know this. I mean, many times you see the world and you're like, how can they be doing that? How can there be so much darkness? And sometimes we feel like it's getting worse and worse. Well, I really think it's just becoming more evident to us how broken the world is. And when we see people in their addiction and in their brokenness, really what they're searching for is God. When we are sinning, the real thing we're searching for is God. Because God can satisfy that need. I want to make something clear that our brokenness, our needs that we want satisfied are not a bad thing. To have desires is God-given. It's when we try to satisfy those desires with something other than God. That's when it's not okay. We try to demand these desires and say, I want to satisfy this right now with whatever vice or malice is in our lives. If that's not the way that God intended things to be. He wants us to satisfy our desires with Him. He's the one that can give us the best that we need. And sometimes I can be my worst critic. Last Wednesday, we were talking about this and how I find that it's easy for me to find that my value and worth in other people. But in that, I'm believing a lie. I'm believing a lie that I'm not made in God's image. When we come to Christ, when we come to know Christ, the truth is that He came to save us because He wants us to be reconciled with God. He wants us to bring us back to that original design. See, this is God's original design, to make us in His image. And what happened? We didn't believe that. We said, oh, something else can satisfy me. And that brought a broken relationship with us and God. But God was not okay with us being away from Him. He didn't want us to be separated. That's why He sent His Son, and that's why He came to this earth, so that He can reconcile this relationship, and so that in Christ, we can find that identity again. We can find that identity that we are made in His image. We don't have to go living this life trying to attain some kind of, oh God, if I live my life, if I just do better, then You'll love me. No. What we do doesn't change God's love for us. God loves us even when we were in our sin. And that doesn't change. And there's nothing we can do for God to save us or to love us more. That's not possible. But it is out of that love that God has for us that we live a life for Him. It is out of that love that God has for us that we live a life for Him. It is this identity that we have, this image that God has restored, that we have been made in His image, that we live our lives. We live our lives because we are made in the image of God. In verse 28 of chapter 1 in Genesis, it talks about this. It says, God's whole purpose for Adam and Eve was to be fruitful, to live life. And that's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to live life in a way where we're trying to obtain some kind of, oh, I want to be like God kind of behavior. But it's a life where we live out of that identity. It's the difference between obeying to attain God's love or living out and obeying out of God's love. And this is a reason why it's so important that we have a church. Because I know that if I were left to myself, I would have a hard time. I mean, I do most of the day, like, believing that all that God wants of me is me. He just wants all of me. He doesn't want me to try to gain his favor. He just wants me to have a relationship with him, and out of that, I live a life for him because I love him. And because we have the church, we can encourage each other. We were talking about that in class this morning. We were talking about encouraging one another, building each other up so that we can remember who we are in God and Christ, that we have been set free. Are we doing that? I think here at Echo Hills we do a good job. It's always encouraging to see you guys and as brothers and sisters, and it's a great help to me, you know, moving from Searcy to here and getting to have this family in Christ where I'm encouraged to keep on walking the walk with Christ, being reminded of who God says I am. And especially at Harding, there were several role models that helped me see that this is how God sees me. That I did not have to be ashamed because of my sin. That Christ already took care of that, and now I have been set free. I can live a life for God. So this morning, that's my encouragement to all of you. Remember who you are in God. Remember whose you are, that you belong to God, and that you don't have to live a life where you are trying to gain God's favor, that God loves you no matter what. And it is because God loves you that we ought to live our lives for God. Let's bow in prayer. Father God, we come before you because we don't have what it takes, Father, to live this life in such a way that is pleasing to you, Father. We don't have what it takes. That's why we need you. That's why we need of your Holy Spirit. Because if we were left to our own, we would just mess things up. And we're so thankful, Father, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to this world. Because now, through everything, the perfect life that he lived, the perfect life we could not live, we have been set free because he died on that cross to free us from that sin. And I pray for the people here in this room today that we can be transformed day by day to believe more in who you say you are. That in different areas of our lives, we can put that trust in you. It's not easy, Father, but we know that you, God, have provided the Holy Spirit to entrust you with everything. And God, I pray that if there's anybody in this room today that is struggling with this, you may comfort them and that you may guide them towards you, Father. And if there's anybody in this room that hasn't given their life to you, Father, I pray that you may touch their hearts and that they may understand that the way of life is believing in you and giving their lives to you in baptism. Father, I'm so thankful that you have provided a congregation to meet with, a church that I can share my heart with and that are accepting, Father. A place where we are able to grow together. And Father, I pray that this morning we can come to a better realization that we need more of you and that we ought to give you everything, give you all of our hearts, give you the control, give you our hearts, and entrust that you have what it takes, Father, to protect us from everything. Father God, it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.